Anyways, you speak the other in the call. Friends, this is Backlog Eternal, and I'm your host, as usual, B. Ross. Every month, I pick four selections in a category, then you, the community, votes. The game that wins is the game that I must play to completion, and then review. And on this episode, we discuss a Sega Master System banger that cuts a little too close to its source material. And of course, that game is Golden Axe Warrior. Axe Warrior was developed and published by Sega for the Master System. It was released in April of 1991. It is an action-adventure role-playing game set in the same style of the first Legend of Zelda on the NES. Currently, this title is one of the most expensive carts to own on the Sega Master System, but this game is also available on Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, that was released on the 360 and the PS4, and it's like a hidden game in there, which is the best way to play it, in my opinion. That's the way I played it. So, the evil giant Death Adder has invaded the countries of Firewood, Kayantries, Nindoria, and Alturia, and killed the royal families. A young hero, Yu, sets out on a quest to destroy the evil tyrant. To counter Adder's evil magic, you must find the 9 crystals of the royal family from Firewood, hidden within 9 labyrinths. Death Adder, what a name. Is there like a death subtractor? Or is this the best we get? I don't know. Well, you pretty much start off as this little armored warrior in the center of a very Zelda 1 looking forest, with some houses and like graves around you. And right away you begin navigating just like the game I just said. The terrain is similar to the way Zelda looks. So are the dungeons. You're looking for the dungeons. In this case, they are called labyrinths. And the point is to find 9 crystals. They're all different colors. Every time you beat a boss in the 9 labyrinths, and then the 10th labyrinth, I'm going to say dungeon. I hate saying labyrinth because they changed it because they didn't want to get sued. I fucking get it. But if I have to say labyrinth 6,000 times, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. Anyways, you get the 9 crystals and then you go to the last labyrinth and you got to get the golden axe and then you got to fight Death Adder and subtract his ass from the universe. However, a big difference up front is the game introduces like places to save data and refill your life and has like an inn to sleep and little shops and other things that were really primitive in the first Zelda game. Even when you speak to the NPCs within the game, you'll notice that the artwork and their portraits are actually pretty good. And there is a variety of non-playable characters living throughout this world, making it feel way less empty. However, at the same time, you quickly realize how much of this game is ripping the fuck off of Zelda. Right away, you notice the enemies look a little familiar. The trees and rock and terrain and everything is pretty much exactly set up like Zelda is, just with like tuned up graphics. And you also collect hearts and heart containers, and you increase your mana with potions and your potion upgrades. I'm not really in the area of graphics and audio yet, but I mean, just the way it looks, even from the inventory screen, it's just shameless. It's like Newtopia 2. But Newtopia 2, spoiler alert, is worse than this game. If you haven't heard that episode, go check it out on the main feed, the Super Garbage Day feed. But one thing to also consider is that this game came out 6 years after Legend of Zelda. So it's kind of crazy. I mean, the Super Nintendo was coming out. And it's weird. This Master System lore, this system just continued forever. And I'm always curious if this happened because of its popularity in Brazil, because in Brazil this was like, I think, more popular than the Nintendo, which is crazy. I mean, I know so little about the system, but I will say that everything I've come across when it comes to the Sega Master System has really impressed me, because we can't forget this is an 8-bit system. Things like the currency, it's known as horns, and it took a little bit to figure out what exactly they were until I spoke to an NPC about I want to purchase some food or other items. And they were like, well, it's cost this many horns. I'm like, oh, those are horns. Okay. And you have your same thing like rupees. You got the one horn, you got the 10 horn. They're different colors. And the game has different things in it, like food, multiple food items. That's how you replenish your health. It has like bread and it has meat. And I think those are the only two, or there's a golden apple as well. But I do like that there are varying different drops when it comes to health. As opposed to, well, I guess Zelda had that too with like the half heart of the heart, but it's cool to see like actual food. And the game is a tad generous with the health items, at least in the beginning. But as you traverse this large map, you quickly realize that you are almost outmatched at every turn, because this game is far, far more difficult than Legend of Zelda. One problem I discovered immediately and sustained throughout my entire playthrough was the terrible hit detection on your character and the length of your weapons. Half the time, I found myself scrambling with the D-pad to line my character up to try to even hit an enemy, or to try to open a door, or try to engage with an NPC. I mean, the grid itself on the screen just feels slightly off. Like, it seems like it's not lined up correctly. And you feel that through the whole game. You find yourself having these little loop-de-loop, like you go down, you circle back, and you're like, all right, am I straight? Am I straight on? Oh, fuck. And to make matters worse, the sword attacks from the left side and it's super short. So you find yourself missing your attacks more often than not. And it's honestly complete bullshit. They could have fixed this. There was no excuse for it to be playing this bad. All they had to do was put the attack in the center of your sprite. If they put it to one side, it fucked everything up and they left it there. Zelda did it right from the jump, and it was 5 years prior, six almost. You do, however, acquire magic items and spells, but for the most part, they aren't that all useful, with an exception of like later game item called the ice spell that will like freeze the entire screen. So anything on the screen that's lava will turn to ice so you can walk across it. And it also like destroys all the enemies. It's pretty badass. And I don't think it takes a lot of magic. I don't think it takes any, actually. I thought that was pretty cool. But I also beat this game without two of the three spells that you're supposed to have at the end. I guess you're not supposed to have them. And I just bypassed them completely. I didn't even know they existed. If you look at my menu screen after I beat the game, it looks like half empty. I was like, damn, I missed a lot of this game. And the game loop goes like this. You discover a labyrinth, which is also just a dungeon in Zelda terms. You enter it, traverse the dungeon, fighting the enemies. Sometimes you're awarded a special item, and you make your way to a boss. After defeating the boss, you get one of the 9 different colored crystals. And it's pretty much rinse and repeat after that, with the labyrinths getting more and more complex, with more puzzle elements, more difficult enemies, more frustrating backtracking. As a matter of fucking fact, one of the biggest issues I have with this game is the backtracking after you defeat a boss. You kill the boss, it plays the music, you grab the crystal, and then you just sit there and you're like, oh, I have to go all the way back to the fucking intro? The entrance? It's silly. I don't understand why that's there, and it's super unnecessary. And I think they added that to fluff the game out, even though it didn't need it. It's already a pretty large game. I don't understand the point of that. And you get these items like these feathers that will bring you back to the last like place you saved or like slept at, but they don't fucking work in the dungeons where you would use them the most. So I don't know, man, it's a bad choice, but the bosses, in my opinion, are better than they are in Zelda. They are more complex. They have more variety, and they also can be more difficult and very fucking cheap. They range from like a dragon to like fire breathing monks to like giant skulls covered in flames to like ghosts and specters. And in the end, Death Adder himself, who is a giant hulking barbarian demon guy. Unlike Zelda, I feel like this game actually is a lot harder the more you traverse, and there's a giant spike in difficulty. Because the enemies become more cheap and they become faster, harder to hit. And eventually you will come across enemies that will do things like damage your armor that you have to repair with oil that you can only buy in stores. Or risk moving forward with half of your defense. And I don't think this is a mechanic that is very innovative. As a matter of fact, any of the mechanics that Sega introduces into this game that isn't directly taken from Zelda come off as more annoying than they do cool. You do obtain items for the overworld, though, such as like canoes and ships and axes, which are not only just weapons, but you can cut down trees. And I like the axes. I like the way they feel. I feel like there was a special emphasis to make the axes better than the swords because the game is called Golden Axe Warrior, but that's just a theory, a game theory. Whenever you go into your inventory screen, you will notice how similar it is to Zelda. However, you can only have one attack button, and you constantly find yourself having to access this screen multiple times in a dungeon to swap either between things like a torch or other weapons or magic items, and it does not make the game feel very polished. It's once again something that is more of a downgrade compared to its inspiration. And let me tell you about the overworld map. It is literally a blank grid with one blinking spot on it. It isn't numbered or lettered, and you find yourself having to count the squares across and down to figure out where you're supposed to go or where you are. And like right before, this is a weird thing this game does. Like right before the last dungeon, you get an item in like the, I think it's the ninth labyrinth or the eighth, that makes your map, it shows you where everything is. And I thought, like, this is so useless. Like, I could have used this, like, third labyrinth. Why are we getting this at the end of the game? Frankly, it's fucking stupid. However, I did feel some reward every time I beat a dungeon. And my character obtained, like, a new skill or weapon or increased my magic or my health. There was just that feel-good thing there. And it was okay, and it felt fun to backtrack when you're more powerful, kind of just destroying the living shit out of anything in your way. You do go towards harder land areas, and there are just times in this game that feel so unfair, and the save points are really far and few between. I mean, speaking of when you die, the penalty, other than having to reload or be at the beginning of a labyrinth, is you'll lose a good chunk of your horns, which honestly become your lifeblood, because everything costs horns, and you're going to need to buy things like oil to repair your armor, or golden apples to replenish your health bar, or even just horns to upgrade items or buy new spells. And they're scattered throughout the lands. But there are also NPCs you come across that look like normal NPCs, and you talk to them, and they rob you. They're there just to steal your horns. And that's fucking annoying. It's yet again something they introduced into the game that isn't in Zelda, that does not make it innovative or like build upon what's already there. However, there are gambling like little houses that are really fun, and they're like match card kind of things. And it gave me some real mystical ninja vibes, and that's always a plus for me. But the game is fairly fun though, and I will give it credit where credit is due. I do like its world design. I like the labyrinths, and I like the variety of enemies, especially the bosses. I like how near the end of the game you become very proficient and with attacking and moving. The world building and the storytelling and more inclusions of the NPCs add a bigger alchemy of making it more diverse than, because obviously this whole time you play this game, you're going to be comparing it to Zelda. So that's why this entire review is pretty much doing that. But how could you not? If you've never played Zelda 1 and you play this, you're going to think this is like the greatest game until you play Zelda. But not of all time, but of this style. As you progress even further, you realize that the game is it doesn't hold your hand, but it also isn't very cryptic. And you could use a walkthrough, but I don't think it's necessary. It would add, or I would say decrease, like maybe 10 hours off the total playtime by using a walkthrough. But I think the game is decent with guiding you the right direction or letting you kind of fool around and figure things out. However, the last two parts of the game, I think, are impossible. 100% mandatory to save state, because I wrote dead otters here, which is funny, but it's I think I was saying death adder and it auto-corrected it to dead otters. So I'm going to call them dead otters from here on out. Especially the dead otter dungeon, where the game becomes ruthless and unforgivingly difficult, where I had to push to save state in nearly every fucking screen of the dungeon. I do think you can get through this game without save stating, but I think it's going to add like 30 hours, man. I'm not even joking. I feel like it would add so much more time on top of it. And at that point, you'd master it. I think you might appreciate it more. I'm big against save stating, but this game was next to fucking impossible near the end. But, you know, if you want the extra 30 hours of gameplay and that's your thing, it's all good, baby. If you like secrets, you are in luck, because this game feels like there is a secret on every fucking screen, especially in the labyrinths, where you either need to clear the screen or hit a button hit as a wall torch or destroy blocks to open up a bridge or a door or expose a warp tile. There's just everything always has a different layer to it. And it's cool. There's variety there. The enemies clearly wear their inspiration on their sleeve, though. There are bats, pig soldiers, skeleton guys, giant eyeballs, scorpion things, ghost fucking mage dudes. I mean, you get the picture. But like I stated earlier, there are some enemies that are just cruel, especially there's these crabs that will, like, they're the ones that hit you and your armor is damaged. Like, they hit you once and you need oil and now your defense is halved. And then there's like mimics, and there's mimics in every fucking game. And I hate them. They always have the erratic fucking pattern and they always surprise you. You touch a wall and they appear and they just jump around, and I hate it. I hate those two. I shouldn't say I hate them, but those are later game enemies, and they're well worth of staying the fuck away from. And then you have like your standard color palette swap to express the higher levels of enemies, you know, like the blue, the reds, the greens. But this is like a standard practice at the time of this game's release, so I'm not going to knock it for that. I must, however, give credit that this game balances out action, exploration, and progression fairly well. But then again, I've said it 1,000 times already, it's taking inspiration from a game that nearly perfected it to begin with. Well, there's no way around it. This game looks great, especially for an 8-bit system. It blows Zelda out of the water in regards to like tile sets, enemy sprites, player sprites, practically everything. I was very much impressed with how different biomes looked and the enemies that lived within them, including the diversity of the labyrinths, especially in regards to like the bosses. And like, there's always adding different types of enemies. I just feel like everything looks much more better and crisp and brighter. I stated earlier the NPCs were given a lot of attention to detail, not just in their sprites on screen, but also their portraits during dialogue. Even in the intro, you see a vast improvement graphically from almost any other Zelda clone, especially on the 8-bit systems. It kind of actually reminds me of this game Willow, that's based off a movie that was on the NES, which was another Zelda clone that I enjoyed thoroughly. Both these games gave me memories of one another, and so far in my experience with the Sega Master System, I must say I am extremely impressed by its graphical capabilities for just being 8-bits. The music and sound is no slouch. Listen, I actually think it's even better than the graphics, but I don't think it's better than Zelda. I'm never going to say a soundtrack is better than Zelda. Unless, I don't know. That's hard. That's a tall order. But I will say that Golden Axe Warrior does a damn good job of giving itself its own style and beauty with its amazing soundtrack. Everything from the world theme to the dungeons to the interaction with NPCs has individual tracks. It just screams well done. I very much tip my hat to the composers and the sound artists of this game, because everything just sounds and feels right. And the audio engineering is on fucking point. It definitely has a very hype playlist of songs too. I recommend you listen to the soundtrack on YouTube. Golden Axe Warrior is very much a long, drawn-out copycat of one of the greatest games ever made. And even though it pumps and turns the dial of frustration up to 11, in some cases I did find myself having fun with the game and wanting to progress further and finally beat it. It does do a good job of making itself stand out from the other crowded entries of the Zelda 1 clones. And thus far, other than Willow on the NES, this might be my second favorite Zelda clone, which speaks volumes of how good the first Legend of Zelda is. It does have glaring flaws in hitbox detection, difficulty spikes, and overall unoriginality. It's not a great game, but it is a damn good clone. And for that, I give it C+. Golden Axe Warrior I think is worth playing. And you might find yourself getting hooked and wanting to beat it. Just be warned, it gets to become a very rough ride about 10 hours in. We will see you next time for Outlast. Love you guys.